Did you know that Game Pass or Pass is brought to you for free because of Spotify for Podcasters? It's a totally free platform, and you can make a podcast today for free. Spotify for Podcasters lets you record and edit podcasts right from your phone or computer. So no matter what your setup is like, you can start creating today. Then you can distribute your podcast to Spotify and everywhere else that podcasts are heard. And if you think about taking your podcast to the next level with a video podcast, Spotify can help you too. With Spotify for Podcasters, you can also earn money in a variety of ways that includes ads and podcast subscriptions. So what are you waiting for? Download the Spotify for Podcasters app or go to spotify.com/podcasts to get started right now.
Time to talk about hell because we have went to hell on this episode of Game Pass or Pass, the podcast where we play games on Microsoft's Game Pass service and tell you which games to pass on to your friends and which games to simply pass on by. I am Corey, joined today by Basher. As well, I don't know why I say like joined today, like it's always gonna be.
I mean, maybe I won't be here one day. And to answer your question, hell isn't a good book. So I feel like it's not a swear.
All right, fair. I forgot I was going to go with that. Because last week we didn't say who we were. So that was interesting.
Do they, though?
So, but a little housekeeping at the beginning of the show. Thank you to everyone that tuned into The Outer Worlds. It is our second most popular episode, still behind Gears 5. And according to the metrics, it's probably going to stay that way, but you never know. Maybe The Outer Worlds will get a sudden boost. But what I'm seeing is a lot of people are listening to us on Apple Podcasts. So why not give us a little review there? We like reviews. Reviews are good. Even if it's not a great review, I still want to hear reviews. I want to know. I want to know what you like, what you don't like. I don't know if Basher wants to know, but
I mean, the not so great reviews would be more helpful, if anything.
Probably.
As long as they're not from Spotify, we're good to go.
Wow. I also just noticed a spelling mistake in the Outer Worlds show notes. So if you saw that, I am deeply, deeply sorry. Instead of putting T-O, I put T-I and not the rapper. So, but I've just changed it. So it's all good now. Probably shouldn't say anything. So on this week's episode, we are talking about Night Moon Studios After Party. This is regularly priced at $19.99. It is available on the Epic Games Store, Xbox One, not the Microsoft Store. I almost said that it is not available on that. So it's only available on Xbox Game Pass on console currently. It is coming to the Windows Store. It is also available on the PlayStation 4. It will be coming to Steam at some point, as well as the Nintendo Switch. It is not crossplay because it doesn't really matter. It is not Xbox Play Anywhere currently because of that Epic Game Store exclusivity. That is how you will. It is also not Xbox One X enhanced for all you Xbox One X owners out there. And it shows, unfortunately. I'm sure we'll talk about that. But it only runs at the good old 1080p on the Xbox One X.
Disgusting. So, how are they able to license themselves on every single platform, however, still claim that Epic Store exclusivity? Like, that's just it's kind of maddening.
I don't want to piss anyone off, but I don't understand the outrage of it. But it
depends on the situation. For me, in this situation, like if it was PC only and it came out on Epic, if it was Epic Store exclusive, I would understand. Like, I get it. Like, your audience is already limited. But to come out on just every platform ever and then, like, including the Game Pass service, and be like, oh well, you can't download from Microsoft Store. It's like that's really dumb. It's super, super dumb.
But I mean, in the interest of the developer, if they were cut a check for that, I don't blame them.
I don't, but it's also dumb. A lot of dumb things have been done for checks.
Sure, I guess I'm always in the mindset of the developers got to do what they got to do to keep making games, kind of thing. Is it always best for a consumer? Unfortunately, not. But that's the beauty of being a consumer. You've got choice. So if you don't want to support it, you don't have to. But that's not what this podcast is about. This podcast is about
microtransactions. What
games? Okay. After Party. The premise is you are two teenagers who were killed and you are now in hell and you have to try to outdrink the devil at his party that he's going to have. So that way he will give you the, I don't want to say the blessing, but the ability to go back to the living side. You play as Milo and I'm already forgetting the girl's name.
Stitch.
No. Why am I forgetting her name?
Because she's a person of color, you don't like those people.
So is Milo.
Milo is a white guy. Is
no, he's Asian.
Get out of here.
did you not his name? Did you not get that? Milo and Lola.
Yes, that's right. That's
so
right.
You're close. It's close to Lilo. Milo and Lola. So this is from the developers of Oxenfree, also Nightmare Studios. So, but I don't believe you played Oxenfree. So this is a very similar game to where it's a almost like a 2D adventure game with a sort of pulled out diorama looking camera. But you kind of switch between Milo and Lola. I'm going to say Stitch all the time. Milo and Lola. And so, but most of the gameplay is done through talking. So you pick your responses and you sort of see what happens, how it all plays out. So After Party, what did you think?
Let me get the good stuff out the way first, because there's a lot of good stuff in this game, like a whole bunch. Excuse me a second. So right off the bat, the premise is, I think, genius. As a alcoholic myself, I have my glass of bourbon over here behind me. So where was I? Oh, yes. As an alcoholic with my bourbon in the background here. I love the premise. It creates for an extremely fun atmosphere, and you feel that immediately the second the game starts. What hit me first, honestly, was the music. I'm a big fan of the music in this game, and then the dialogue and the voice acting itself is just all on point. Like, it's a lot. Like, they put a lot of work in the into the atmosphere of this game, and that's one thing that hit me first that I really, really like.
I will agree. So the premise was always something that it sounded very good, but I was worried on the execution, based on what I played of Oxenfree. So I liked Oxenfree, but I didn't love the overall presentation, not the word. I didn't love how that game started and ended, but I enjoyed everything in the middle, kind of thing. But so the premise of this one is much more wacky, or, you know, much more fun. So, but no, I enjoyed how, if you didn't know the premise of this game, like the first 10 minutes of it, I guess this is semi-spoiler, but not really. So like the first 10 minutes, like you're at a party and then sort of like things start falling apart, kind of thing. So if you go into this game not really knowing, it's told in a way that very much sets it up in a way of just like, oh, okay, like I'm either you're on board or you're not within those first 10 minutes, kind of thing. So I think it makes its case very, very strong at the beginning, and I was definitely on board. I was like, all right, I'm ready to see what else this game can do, kind of thing.
I was the same way, because as you said before, the gameplay starts off essentially just kind of like dialogue options. You have anywhere between 2 to 3, I want to say, dialogue options, and you just kind of make your way around this college party. I want to say it's the last party before you graduate, or it might have been a graduation party itself.
I think it was. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like.
Yeah, it definitely was.
So Milo's the nerd, and I guess Lola is like the kind of the too cool for school introvert. Neither one of them have friends other than each other, and it really plays well. It's acted well, and I believe the characters are fun. And once you go to hell, it's a hodgepodge group of these of characters that are just kind of like all kind of real cartoony and out there and wacky and weird. And it's like the whole setting's great. And like, it's almost like the like everyone's in on a joke, and it's like, and it's a funny joke to be told. And
yeah, the writing is especially strong. The writing has to be for this game to be successful, kind of thing, because the writing is basically the game. So I'm trying to think of the word. The game wears its tone on its sleeve very much, and I don't want to call them like fart jokes, because they're not, but they're very much like late teenager profanity kind of jokes, and there's a lot of like riffing on that stuff of just we're trying to be a family-friendly show, so I can't repeat a lot of them. But there's just a lot of that kind of humor. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
No, it absolutely does. It plays almost like a less sharp episode of Always Sunny.
Yeah, there you go. That's the word I'm looking for. Or I guess the show that I'm looking for. So if you're into that, then you're going to like this, because that's how it is through start to finish. And a lot, like you said, a lot of the characters that you meet, they all have a very distinct personality, and they all sort of play into that in their own way. So there's, I think Sam is probably the first character that you meet, and she's sort of your taxi driver, but she's kind of there throughout the whole thing. But she very much is kind of the glue that holds everything together in terms of getting you from point A to B and kind of giving you expose, and she does it in a very good way. She's voiced by someone, I can't remember her name, but she's very popular, so she does a great job. And this is hard to talk about without spoilers, because the game isn't terribly long. It's only, I finished my playthrough in about 4.5 hours. What was yours?
Yeah, it's not longer than 5 hours.
Yeah, so, I mean, if you do everything, so I guess getting into the gameplay, so like we said, the goal of the game is to outdrink Satan, but you have to get there first. So you have to do that by talking to people and going through different scenarios and sort of making your way to that final drink off, I guess you can say. And I think where I enjoyed was, I like the main storyline of finding the main characters, but the idea of finding some of the side characters I wasn't as intrigued with. I feel like they weren't as strongly written, and so that kind of pushed me to sort of stay on the main path and not do too much exploring of the general locations. But I think that's okay. I don't think that you lose out on anything, if that makes sense. But
well, and here's where the game started to lose me. By hour, because again, it's a very short game, so by the first hour, you're already in hell, and you're off. You're probably off to your first or second side mission or whatever, side quest rather. It starts to lose me here because I realize this is an adventure game, and as a big fan of adventure games, like what I like about the adventure game genre is usually the well-made ones have a sort of sandbox areas in which you can go pretty much anywhere, anytime. And if you get to a certain place, they'll say something like, oh, this door is locked, so you obviously need a key. So you go back looking for a key, but you hit an area that says you need to cross a lake, so you obviously need a boat or some sort of raft. And then, so you're spending this time going, exploring this entire area, just trying to figure out, put the square peg in the square hole, and trying to just get everything together. And it's like, it creates this kind of cohesive adventure format. My issue with this game, when it started to lose me, was how linear it was in nature and how it didn't provide the challenge the adventure game supposed to provide. For example, there's a quest rather where you have to get inside the front door of Satan's castle, and he says, oh, you can't come in here without a pass. It's like, all right, where do I find a pass? It's simple as, instead of walking from left to right, you walk right to left. Then you naturally fall into where you need to go get stuff. It's not challenging enough, in my opinion, to be an adventure game. And it leads into a problem that I have with some these types of games in general, where it's like, at what point are these really games? Because this could have been like a visual novel, and I would have enjoyed it just as much, to be honest with you.
See, I'm somewhere in the middle on that. Like, I had the realization, probably it wasn't really a realization, but similarly, after about an hour and a half, like there's a part where you basically have to walk up a mountain kind of thing, and it takes a little while and it takes a couple minutes, but the idea is that I think where this game is different from like adventure games is that it's always talking to you. And so a lot of times in adventure games, the gameplay, like you said, is finding the stuff, finding the things to do. And in this game, instead of that, you're walking, but they're always sort of talking and providing context, et cetera.
Right.
But to me, kind of like, I was like, you know, it'd be kind of nice if I could just maybe set the controller down and just press A or B, you know, or X, and this, I think it was X or B, to pick whichever dialogue option. And at some point, like you said, is that really a game at that point, or is it more a visual novel kind of thing? And I think I would have preferred it if I didn't have control of the characters.
No, like, I mean, I don't say that to be like, this is definitely one of those games where I feel bad not liking it as much as I feel like I should, because at the end of the day, it's just kind of like, you made something that is super, just super strong in narrative. I love the premise. The art style is fantastic. Like, the music is phenomenal. There's so much I like about the game, but at the end of the day, like, for me personally, I do not find this to be much of a game. This, like, to put it in perspective, it has as much gameplay for me as a Telltale's game. It was just kind of like, walk here, press A or B, walk here, press A or B. The most intricate gameplay that I found was a Parappa the Rapper style, like,
dance off.
Yeah, and it's like I could just watch like a series of Netflix shows like this and be happy.
Right. Well, that's where, like, I, for the most part, like the Telltale games. There's some that I just wasn't a huge fan of, but that's more of the way that they handle the material. But those games, similar to this, they play, like, when you play them, it's the worst part. And that's how I felt with After Party. It was a lot of times when I was just walking from left to right, I think I'm kind of, I guess, repeating myself. I was just like, I kind of wish I just wasn't doing this kind of thing. Like, when you do the dance party and then you have to play like some drinking games and stuff. And I was just like, I'm kind of.
For a game that doesn't have, pride itself on its gameplay, I really expected the drinking. I was hoping for an adventure of drinking games, almost.
Right.
Each one would just get more and more ridiculous, more and more challenging, more and more wacky. And it's like, no, we're just going to simply press A or B.
Basically where I think they tried to sort of mitigate this is that there's bartenders everywhere and you can get these different drinks and you can sort of sip on them whenever you want kind of thing. And sometimes when you do that, you get different dialogue options. I think that was there because Oxenfree sort of had a little bit more of a adventure game vibe. Like sometimes you had to sort of, like you said, find the square peg and put it in the square hole kind of thing, whereas this game doesn't have it. So to me, they sort of try to mitigate it of not having gameplay, of adding this mechanic of sort of drinking when you wanted to have a different experience kind of thing, or if you wanted to see a different dialogue option. But to me, I feel like that should have just sort of always been there kind of thing. I think it could have been written in a better way to sort of incorporate that you're always sort of intoxicated. That's kind of the point of the game. And I think that's where a lot of the humor comes from. Like, I don't know about you, but anytime I had an option to drink and have a response, I'm going to pick that response.
Absolutely. 100% of the time.
Right. So, and that sort of took away part of the, because you can, this game does have diverging paths. Like, you'll always end up at the same end game, but the way you get there can be different. So it sounds like we both picked one. Like, there's like two or three major sort of diversions that you can go on. And it sounds like we picked at least one of them that was the same. So, yeah. So I guess that all this is a roundabout way of saying that I still really like this game, but I don't like the game aspect of it. I like the adventure aspect of it because I think it's so well written and it's genuinely funny at times. Like, I don't think every joke lands, but I laughed out loud a couple times of stuff I just didn't expect. So
the overall tone is fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it just goes to credit again, the writing, and then enough can't be said about the voice acting. I feel like there's like three or four voice actors that I recognize that if I saw the names, I would have been like, oh yeah, of course that's him or her. But I just couldn't knock the feeling of me playing, getting halfway through a Telltale's game. Like, I almost prefer someone else be playing this while I watch them.
Yeah, like, that's fair.
You know, it's just kind of like, it's not enough. It's just one of those games where there's not enough game. And that's always going to strike a chord with me personally, because at the end of the day, I feel like a video game should focus on its gameplay. No matter how great the writing is, no matter how great the narrative is, like, the gameplay needs to be there. And I think this is just kind of like, this is essentially like a dialogue simulator or something for me. It's kind of like, and it's a good dialogue simulator, but it doesn't, doesn't have equally as good gameplay.
Right. And I think that's a discussion, you know, and just in general for, you know, a different show. It's just, it seems like this genre of, you know, the quote walking simulator, whatever you want to call it, you know, like that Telltale sort of popularized this idea of like diverting paths and not really playing a game. Like, Mass Effect was probably the last big one that was like a full on AAA game that really tried to have sort of narrative interwoven in a way. I guess actually probably The Outer Worlds most recently. But Telltale sort of made it more streamlined and popular. And this game seems to like, it wants to, I think Night School Studios in general wants to be in that genre, but they don't want to do it the same way. And they're sort of having an issue of trying to figure out how to make that into a thing that works cohesively. But for me, I don't, the fact that it was so simplified, it basically became, I don't want to say trivialized, but I eventually sort of just got over it.
Right.
And, you know, by like hour two and a half, three, like, I was so invested in the characters and the story that I sort of stopped thinking about having the controller in my hand, which was kind of like you. I was just like, at one point I was like, man, I really want to put this controller down. Like, that'd be great if I could just put this down and just relax and just watch and see what happens kind of thing. And I kind of want to do that with like a playthrough, you know, just start one because, you know, before work or something, and start watching someone else's playthrough and see how they handle it kind of thing. Because there's stuff that you just don't see because you pick one path or the other. Go ahead.
I mean, and that's a hard enough thing to do as well, because as your point with Mass Effect 2 was like the best one of them, because in a lot of ways, the reason why Infinity was better than Endgame, because it didn't really need an ending per se.
Right.
So you could take all these different paths, all these different, and it can lead kind of anywhere, and it just be open ended. But this game having, I believe, it's only two endings. It's like, okay, these paths are cool and all, but to even worse, Mass Effect 3, I don't get red, blue, or green. I get red or blue. It's not really necessary.
Yeah, it's not quite that. It's more, it's hard. So you're always going to get the same ending, but it's the relationship that changes kind of thing. So what the characters do at the end will always be the same, but it's how they interact with each other at the end of it.
Gotcha.
is what can sort of be diverse. Diverse isn't the word. Can be different, I guess. So it's a little bit different, but there's stuff. Yeah, so. But no, again, this is kind of a hard game to talk about because you don't want to give too much away. But I think it's, I don't know. So
I wanted more, like I was so on board those first 30 minutes to an hour, like, so on board. I'm thinking like, oh, this is going to be just this incredibly fun romp where, like I said before, like, it's going to be these interesting, like, because indie studios are really good at creating interesting gameplay. So it's like, I really thought it was going to be like some weird kind of quirky, like, okay, we're going, so this sequence to beat this character, you got to beat him in a game of Flip Cup. To beat him in this game, beat this character, you got to beat him in a game of Beer Pong, which is inside, right. Which is in the game. And each game plays differently. But instead, it's like the most complex complex gameplay gets is Simon Says button pressing, and they do it like two or three times. I'm like, oh, you guys really just didn't care at all about the gameplay, and this is just all story, all character, which is fine. Like, it's fine. It's like, I get it, but it's like, for me personally, it's like, if you're selling me a video game, you got to put some work into the gameplay.
I see where, what I think is that, I think specifically that particular mini game was just not good. But I actually really liked the beer pong aspect, just because I don't think they go far enough with it, but there was a part at the end, near the end of the game, when you're sort of having to find some people kind of thing. And there was a certain character that I interacted with that I basically was trying to build a relationship with him. And the way you did that was by playing a game of beer pong with him. So it didn't even really become about the beer gameplay anymore. Right. Yeah. So, but it was something to sort of do in the background. And I wish there was more of that. I wish there was more of just those kind of moments of like building characters and building sort of friendships and whatever you want to call them with the mini games, instead of it always being dialogue. But I think the sort of dancing game was the most egregious. It was just sort of, like you said, it was just very much a very typical, because there was no dialogue or anything, and it wasn't particularly funny. It wasn't particularly anything. It was just sort of there. But I actually liked the drinking games. I just thought that there wasn't enough of them. Even if it was doing the same thing, I think the games being strong in the narrative aspect, they could have interwoven that better than they even did. They still did it well, in my opinion. But I think if they would have done that more, it would have been an even stronger impression for me.
I completely agree. Yeah. I just feel like this should have been littered with those just all the way through. Just like, because for a game all about drinking, like, you really don't get drunk.
Yeah, unless you're really just like pounding that right trigger on whenever you get a drink. Like, but again, like, I was sort of sipping on it because I wanted to see the dialogue options. So
right.
Yeah, but no, I it sounds like you're probably somewhere more in the middle. I'm definitely higher on the game. I think that so I guess we got to come to a consensus. Do we pass on it, or do we pass it on?
So this is interesting. Do we need to agree? This is the
I think we do. I think that's the
this is a tough one, because like, for me, like okay, so to speak a little bit more about the broader subject, I do like games like Dear Esther. I do like games like some Telltale games. Like, I understand the premise. I understand the purpose. I'm just never a fan of paying 15, 20, 40, whatever amount of dollars on a video game that ignores game. Like, I could just watch this and be happy. Like, that's why it's gonna be hard. That's why it's hard for me to say to pass it on to a friend, because you could be, this is 5 hours out of your day. You could have been binge watching. A Netflix show, like that's fine.
But I mean, but it's the choice. Like, that's really what I think it boils down to is the choice worth the money? Like, I don't mean like to spend or not spend, like the choice of the story and the choices that you make during the gameplay. I think they're strong enough, and there's enough diversity and a good enough story there that I think, even with its shortcomings, that. But I mean, also I think you could also argue that the fact that there isn't a ton of gameplay is a great reason for some people to play it, of being like, you know, if you want something that you can't lose at, like, you literally cannot lose at this game. You can't die. You can't fail, anything like that. So even if you do fail one of the mini games, the game still goes on, kind of thing. It's very much like a Telltale, to where you can play that entire game and never say anything, but you still can die and all that stuff. But it's different, whatever. I think there's enough here that I would feel comfortable saying, yeah, I think it's worth spending the $20 on it, or if you're on Game Pass to play it.
Oh man.
The one thing I will say, I think it's an injustice. Like, the game does not run well, and it does not look the best. And I think while the art style is very good, this game begs to be Xbox One X enhanced, because it's just, because it's zoomed out, you see more stuff and you see more jaggies and you see more aliasing and you see more of the imperfect edges of it. And I think that's like, I think that's just sort of unfortunate, because it should run better than it does, kind of thing. It hitches really hard sometimes, and it's not doing anything that's that crazy. And it didn't take me out of it, but it was just sort of annoying.
I agree. I did think at one point, like, I could, we could zoom in a little closer, but
yeah, just,
like,
a little bit. Yeah.
But then I'm like, I kind of see why you don't, though.
Right. But to me, I don't understand why they never play with the camera. Like, they never, like, sometimes they'll sort of swivel it to get you different angles, but they never zoom in and out. And like, because Lola and Milo actually have facial features, but you can't see them unless you know, maybe it's different if you're playing on PC. I'm not sure.
No, it's not. It's not.
Oh, okay. So,
I'm right there with you. I feel like this game is something that if they keep going down a path, they will hit a home run and figure it out perfectly soon enough, like very soon. But this is not the one. I personally wouldn't recommend buying this flat out.
As a Game Pass game, I think this is worth playing.
Yeah. It barely passes the plate for me. You got that consensus. Yeah.
So we're going to say did I say Night Moon earlier? Because that's not a thing.
You called it After Party correctly the first time. I don't know where the Night Part. This Night Part thing is new, I think.
That's the developer.
Night Court. Watch it now on Netflix.
Yeah, so no, because what's Night Moon? Where am I? Because Moon Studios is Ori and the Blind of the... In the blind, oh my gosh, Ori in the Blind Forest.
You're breaking down, man. Apparently, breaking down.
It's been a long week. Anyways, Night School Studios After Party on this podcast of Game Pass or Pass, we're going to say play it. We're going to pass it on to our friend.
Yeah.
So I liked it, though. It's one that I really want to play again. I know I'm not going to, because there's just so much other stuff coming out. I
didn't dislike it. I mean, if I could make that point very clear, I did not dislike it. It's just a matter of you have to know going in that this is probably more visual novel than it is a video game. So
yeah,
then you're good to go.
I've been playing the King's Quest that one they made in like 2016, which is, if you're sleeping on the game, don't. That game is fan freaking tastic. If you're into that game, I really like that game. I just feel like the delivery just isn't quite there yet. Like they're so close to having something, and I want them to make more, because I think what they're onto is very good. So,
and they should.
But yeah, so on this episode, we're gonna say pass it on, and. So yeah, I guess it's time since those are both new releases, and that means is it time to spin the wheel?
Oh, it's time to spin the wheel of death.
But that's the question. Like, so a lot of times, do you have anything you want to play? Because I feel like it's always me being like, hey, we should play this. Like, you scrolled through this. Like,
here's my overall thoughts on it. This podcast is about the service Game Pass, and the service Game Pass prides itself on, look at all the games you could get for this one low monthly price. You can't beat it. And it's like, so my cynicism kicks in and says, okay, you have, it's this price and you have all these games. So how many of these are good? So it's like, it's easier to pick out a good one that we kind of like and say, let's play this one next, than it is like Killer Instinct. Because, like, you know, like, it's Killer Instinct, but I'm more interested in the service working in a way where you can literally play most games and enjoy yourself. Like that's really what I want to find out. So that's why I'm leaning towards the randomizer.
Have you been scrolling through the catalog and ever been like, oh, wait a minute, that sounds interesting?
No, I just did the, I scrolled through the catalog, sure, on the Xbox. However, I don't go into details. I just look at cover art and title. I'm like, all right. I guess I could play that one day. I don't know. But I never like did any more than look at that screen.
Interesting. I was just curious because that's basically what I do is like when I'm looking for a game, I pull up the all A to Z kind of thing. And I just start scrolling and I'm just like, oh, this looks interesting. And then I usually just kind of pick one. And then I look at the install and I'm like, nope or yep.
Right.
It's like 88 gigs. I'm like, you know, I don't want to play it that bad kind of thing. But so, yeah, they need to bring that randomizer to the console because there are a couple games that are not on one or the other kind of thing.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
All right. So here's the thing. All right. We could do the randomizer. Or, hear me out, there's a game.
I refuse to hear you out. Randomizer. Wait, I'm sorry. What's
there's a game that I really, 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 really want to play again. So here's the thing. I already like it. Okay? I know I like it. And I think you're going to like it. I think you're going to love it, actually. But is that not in the spirit of the podcast? But it's such a good game, though, that I really want to play it again. And I want to talk about it. But I can already guarantee that we're both going to like it.
So it's a game you picked out that you for sure like, you think I will like.
I would be hard-pressed if you didn't.
Is it Sunset Overdrive?
It is Sunset Overdrive.
Sucker Punch, right?
No, Insomniac.
Insomniac, yeah.
See, here's the thing. Everyone should play that game. And time code. But the thing is that does it really matter anymore? Like, that's something you bought him.
You know, I think that's the main takeaway from this. It says Sony bomb is a little too late, which I'm not surprised because Xbox players don't like good games. So I'm okay playing it.
So,
but to your point, I am going to like it. It's Insomniac. I'm kind of a fanboy from the jump.
Yeah. The more I'm talking about it, the more I'm like, you know what? No, it's not in the spirit of the show. Like, it really is because if Insomniac didn't get bought and we had a chance of getting a sequel at this game, I would say, yeah, so that way we can sort of champion this game
exactly.
And get more people to play it. But that's never going to happen now. So I guess I vetoed my own my own idea. So let's spin that wheel. All that just to get
to the spin.
All right, I got to open the app, not the companion app, because that's not what I want. I want the Xbox app. All right, here we go. Where is it? Oh, it's in the middle. All right, in 3, 2, 1. We already played that. All right. Apparently, we're going to play Apocalypsis.
Apocalypsis?
From Clubalter SA. It's an action-adventure game. It is rated T for teen. It's called Apocalypsis. The text is too small. Harry at the End of the World. Let's see here. Oh man. This looks fun. It is single player, and there is not a single review for this video game.
Oh, my God. All right.
Apocalypsis, Harry at the End of the World, is a traditional point-and-click adventure game in the vein of Samorost and Machininarium.
See, this is exactly why I want the randomizer.
Where solving puzzles comes with a sense of discovery and accomplishment. The gameplay style merged with unique art style inspired by the 15th century engravings creates the perfect backdrop for a story about heartbreak, redemption, and quite literally the end of the world. There you go.
This is exactly why. let's put your catalog to the test. You got all these games. Let's see if they're actually worth playing.
Let's do it. So next week's episode will be Apocalypsis. Is that, am I saying that right?
Apocalypsis. Yeah.
All right. Apocalypsis. All right. That's going to do it for this episode. Let us know what, if you want to, if there's a game that you've played that no one else is talking about, let us know at gpopfans@gmail.com. Or if you just want to write us an email, ask a question, et cetera. Or if you want to tell us that you played After Party and you're like, it's the worst freaking game I've ever heard of, I hate you both, 0 stars. Hey, at least you took the time to write an email, and I appreciate that. Send us some reviews on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcast services. Spotify, there's more of them. I know Basher's not a fan, but they are there. The numbers don't lie. They don't lie.
Those hips don't either.
The what? Oh, the hips. I just said the tips at first. All right, that's going to do it for this episode of Game Pass or Pass.
The tips always lie.
We will see you next time.